Jesus, what a friend for sinners, Jesus, lover of my soul.
Welcome to the Unknown Bible, the broadcast ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. Join us now for today's Bible study with our pastor, Bevan Zwelder.
You know, there is a wonderful passage of Scripture in the book of Proverbs, Proverbs chapter 1, verse 20 through 23, dealing with wisdom. And the passage says, "Wisdom crieth without. Wisdom crieth without. She uttereth her voice in the streets. She crieth in the chief place of concourse, in the openings of the gates, in the city she uttereth her words, saying, How long, ye simple ones, will you love simplicity? And the scorners delight in their scornings, and fools hate knowledge. Turn you at my reproof. Behold, I will pour out my spirit unto you. I will make known my words unto you." Now, when you read that passage of Scripture, you see that wisdom makes a very public appeal for men to listen. She cries without, utters her voice in the streets, crieth in the chief place of concourse, in the openings of the gates, in the city she uttereth her words. You find a very similar passage in Proverbs chapter 8. Beginning with verse 1, "Doth not wisdom cry, and understanding put forth her voice? She standeth in the top of high places, by the way, in the places of the paths. She crieth at the gates, at the entry of the city, at the coming in at the doors. Unto you, O men, I call, and my voice is to the sons of man." Now, when you hear Proverbs chapter 1 and you hear Proverbs chapter 8, you see the very public appeal of wisdom to men, because wisdom can be heard in the streets, in the chief place of concourse, you know, in the high places, in the gates. When you consider today, you may be asking, where is wisdom's voice heard so publicly today? In this day and age, consider all the ways you can find wisdom calling out to you. Wisdom still cries without. You can find wisdom on the radio like you're hearing right now. This is very public. The particular station that we're broadcasting on covers all the Gulf Coast, from the northern part of Mexico to Lake Charles, Louisiana, and inland about 50 or 60 miles, sometimes even more than that. South side of Austin, places in Houston, places in San Antonio. Lots of places can hear this. Wisdom crieth without on the radio, on television. You can find the gospel preached in its very simplicity. There are so many, many, many broadcasts that still preach a fairly good gospel message. You can find wisdom on the internet, in Bible tracts. Those are little pamphlets and leaflets that are passed out. We pass out thousands upon thousands of those here in Corpus Christi to cashiers and waiters and waitresses and people passing by and door to door, and just numerous ways that tracts go out through street preachers. You know, there are places still where you'll find men standing on street corners preaching and proclaiming the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. I've done that many times, even recently, in churches. In other words, you can walk off the street, walk inside of a church, and in some churches still hear the gospel preached very plainly. You can go to a bookstore, another place that sells Bibles, like Dollar General stores and Sam's Club and Walmart and every places like that, and find a Bible and pick it up very inexpensively and read it. Wisdom cries without through personal witnessing. We do a great deal of that, and many other ways. But of course, in every one of these venues, that is the radio, the television, internet, churches, bookstores, personal witnesses, In every one of these venues, you can find sometimes more foolishness than you can find wisdom. But then that would be true of the kind of nonsense you hear on the street as well. Nevertheless, through all of these means, wisdom crieth without. You know, I was talking to a fellow many years ago in Victoria. We were doing some evangelistic work over there. And this young man and his father owned a dance club and bar. And I met that young man, and we were able, through preaching the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, to help him come to the Lord and be saved. But I'm going to tell you what happened. Before we met him, he was driving to the nightclub one day. In other words, they had, you know, made their deposit at the bank and all that. He was going to meet his dad, and they were going to get everything ready for the next evening. And he heard Lester Roloff preaching on the radio. And this young man didn't realize Lester Roloff had been dead. Lester Roloff was preaching on the radio, and what he had to say basically was, in the middle of his sermon, "If you're selling that whiskey, you know, and you're leading all these people to hell." And he went on like that, running this guy down about selling whiskey in a bar. And I'm telling you, he said it was just like that man had gotten in the car with me and was lecturing me. It was just like God Almighty showed up and told me that what me and my dad were doing was wrong. He said when he got to the nightclub, when he got to that dance hall, he told his father, he said, "Some man was talking to me on the radio, told me we're sending people to hell and God's after us and going to throw us in hell." He said, "We have to close this business down." And they did. And they converted that thing to a gymnasium and an athletic club, and began workouts and things like that. Completely changed that, because God, through the fear of God, through the wisdom crying without on the radio, it changed that guy's life. I went to Bible college. When I did, I went to Bible college with a fellow that got saved watching a preacher on television. We were dealing with a lady in Robstown whose mother had gotten saved many years before watching Billy Graham on television. And that mother of these children began to try to lead her children to the Lord. They scoffed her, and many years later, through public witness, wisdom crying without, I saw her sitting on her doorstep, and I was with another fellow, now a missionary in Thailand, and he and I knelt beside her on her porch and opened that Bible and took up wherever her mother left off, and that lady got saved, 65 years old. Television was responsible for her mother getting saved, and personal witness was responsible for her getting saved. Wisdom crying without. Let me tell you, there are all kinds of ways that people hear the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ and find God's will. But in spite of all these avenues of gaining wisdom, let me tell you something. Men still walk in foolishness. And the reason is that in spite of the fact that wisdom cries without today, where her voice can be heard anywhere, about any time, there's some problems. And that first problem is that wisdom's cries are refused. Wisdom's cries are refused. You're in Proverbs chapter 1, where wisdom is crying without. Look at verse 24. "Because I have called and you refused." Wisdom's cries are refused. Men reject God's counsel so that they can continue in their own sin. How many times have I witnessed to people personally that weren't saved, talked to them very directly about how the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ could change their lives, how receiving Jesus Christ would make them a new creature, how they would be guaranteed of heaven when they died, and how their lives could change. They would experience joy now and the power to turn from the pleasures of sin to live a life of righteousness. And they just turn it down. Just absolutely turn it down. I've preached in churches. I've preached in churches for years and years and years. Very disheartening to know that there's somebody sitting in the congregation lost, and you preach the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, and they leave without the Lord, refusing to be saved. Many years ago, I was preaching in Germany, and a fellow came to all eight services. In other words, we preached an 8-day meeting, and he came every meeting. And on the eighth day, I preached my heart out, hoping that that guy would come to the Lord Jesus Christ. And he walked up to me and he said, "I can tell that you are visibly disappointed that I did not receive Jesus Christ as my Savior." He said, "But I'm just going to take more time." And I thought, man, how desperate I was to see that fellow get saved, more than he was to get saved. But he refused wisdom's cries. I still remember people that I visited with many, many, many years ago when I was in Bible college. I can remember their faces. I can remember some of their names. Talking to people, coming to them with a testimony about the Lord Jesus Christ, and for one reason or another, they just turned it down. I'd gone back several times to visit with one old fellow. I was just telling the church about him the other day. And he just kept saying, "No, now's not the time. I'm just not ready." And I thought to myself, "Dear one, you're going to die not ready and wind up in hell." But people refuse. Men reject God's counsel to continue in their own sin, thinking, "Oh, it'll be all right. I don't want anything to do with it." Wisdom's crying without, but wisdom's cries are refused. You know, I don't know where you are concerning the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, but I'm going to tell you, if you have never been saved, Jesus Christ loved you enough to die for you on the cross of Calvary, died in your place. God accused him of every sin you committed. God has held Jesus Christ responsible as if he were the one that committed your sins, and then killed him and allowed him to be 3 nights and 3 days in the tomb, and his soul 3 nights and 3 days in hell until he rose from the dead. All for you. All for you. If you've never received the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, you need to do that. The Bible says you must be born again. And the remedy, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. You need to put your trust in the finished work of Jesus Christ on Calvary. It's the only hope you have for salvation. Jesus Christ said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." You may try religion. You may try baptism. I was talking to a fellow the other day, and he said, "Yeah, well, I was baptized in the church," and he's counting on that water baptism to save his soul. Talking to a Jehovah's Witness recently in the Philippines. Counting on his good work. Counting on his baptism to save him. Not counting on Jesus Christ and the shed blood at Calvary for his salvation at all. Talked to him for a while. I know his neighbor has talked to him numerous times about the Lord Jesus Christ. Just flat out refused. Flat out refused. "I got my own religion," they say. "I don't want what you have to offer." Whatever the case may be, bottom line is they want to stay in their sin. Men reject God's counsel to continue in their own sin. Wisdom cries without, but wisdom's cries are refused. And that's not all. Men still walk in foolishness because wisdom's cries are refuted. Oh, there are many places in the Bible we can see this. I'll show you one, Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1, you know, the Bible tells us that even creation reveals things about the Godhead so that people are without excuse. And the Bible says in Romans chapter 1 and verse 21, "Because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools." You know what these folks did? They came up with an excuse. The Lord said they're without excuse, but you know what they did? They didn't want to retain God in their knowledge, according to Romans 1:28. So they professed themselves to be wise, and in so doing, they became fools. They refuted God's counsel with their own wisdom to cast doubt upon God's words. Oh, today there are all kinds of ways that men refute God's wisdom. I would say that science, falsely so-called, is probably the number one way. People have come up with evolution, and they say, "Oh, no, God didn't create all this." No, this all happened by the science of natural processes. Richard Dawkins says there's a greater probability that this earth exists by the science of natural processes, more so, a greater probability, than that there was a God who created it. And I think to myself, God's not a God of greater probabilities. God's a God of impossibilities. If there's any probability whatsoever that God could have created it, then it's not by faith. Listen, it has to be an impossibility. God made this entire universe out of matter that did not exist. In other words, there was nothing here but God himself. And then out of nothing, God made all of this. That's an impossibility. Through faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. We're not in the realm of probabilities. We're in the realm of impossibilities. With God, nothing shall be impossible. With God, all things are possible. See, that's where God is. That's where faith is. Faith is the evidence of things not seen. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the Bible says. And I think about these words here and how much I believe them and how much I know they're true and how by faith God has revealed so much of the truth of his words. I'm thinking to myself, why would anybody refute wisdom's cries? Listen, you'll have a full-time occupation if you started today and worked the rest of your life just trying to understand what these words say. You'll seek out by prayer and by reading and by study and by careful examination everything that God said, and he'll reveal some things to you, and you'll marvel at the greatness of God's words. But you and I won't know half of what's in this book. We'll get to heaven and God will show us how it was all put together, and we'll just cry out and worship the Lord for his greatness and his majesty and his unsearchable riches. Yet wisdom's cries are refuted. Everything that a man would need is right here in this book. Wisdom, sound mind, love, understanding of the things of God, absolute assurance about where we came from, where we're going, all those things answered in the Bible. And a man comes along and says, I don't believe any of that. I'm going to come up with this theory that says through a big bang we all existed. They all want you to believe the universe started with a big bang. I'll say to you, it didn't start with a big bang. It's going to end with a big bang, according to 2 Peter chapter 3. Wisdom has cried without. Everybody that I've ever read that has anything to do with evolution always refers to the doctrine of creation and offers evolution as the counterproof or the counter philosophy or the counter evidence. In other words, in doing so, they always make reference to what we believe. Creation never made reference to evolution and said, believe in me because these men say this and it can't be so. In other words, evolution, it's necessary to be able to reference creation in order to put it forth as a doctrine to refute it. And creation was never put forth as a doctrine to refute evolution. I mean, people do it. People use it for that reason. But there's no wisdom in evolution. There's wisdom in creation. There's wisdom in God's words. Yet men still walk in foolishness. Why? Because wisdom's cries are refused and wisdom's cries are refuted. But that's not all. Wisdom cries without, and yet men still walk in foolishness because wisdom's cries are repressed. Are repressed. Look at John chapter 8. John chapter 8. Now I realize in John chapter 8 the context is a little different than the way we're going to apply it here, but it's the same. John chapter 8 verse 43, why do you not understand my speech? Even because you cannot hear my word. Now the reason that the Pharisees couldn't hear the word is because they're of their father the devil. But the truth of the matter is wisdom is crying without and people cannot hear the word. Why? Because wisdom's cries are repressed. By what? By the din of the following. In other words, these things that I'm going to mention to you are making noise, and the noise they're making drowns out the voice of the Spirit of God so that he can hardly be heard. Many, many years ago, I'm talking about at the turn of the 1800s into the 1900s, Sam Jones was a well-known preacher back in those days, and he said, I fear lest the voice, lest the noise of the click clack of the steam engine rail drown out the voice of the Spirit of God. Man, have we ever come a long way since then making noise. I'll tell you the kinds of things, the noise of these kind of things that drown out the voice of the Spirit of God, where wisdom can hardly be heard, or would be these, the noise of conversation. Man, I'll tell you, have you ever noticed there's people talking all the time these days. You can hardly find a place to sit down and just be quiet. People are just yakety-yak and yakety-yak all day long. How do they have time to hear for all the time they spend, as we used to say, jacking their jaws. Just talk, talk, talk. And then there's the noise of diversion. You want to go out and have a nice meal with your spouse, maybe with your family. You get into a restaurant. You know what you have to do. You've got to tell the waitress, turn the music down. There's one restaurant here in this town that serves pretty good food. And we used to go there. I don't go there anymore. I can remember on several occasions being there and asking the waiter or waitress, turn the music down. They got a big jukebox in their place so loud, you can't really carry on a conversation with the person on the other side of the table with you because the music in the restaurant is just too loud to be heard. Well, if you can't hear the person that's trying to scream at you from across the table in order to be heard, how are you going to hear the gentle, still small voice of the Spirit of God? How about the diversion of entertainment? People have televisions on in their homes. They got earbuds in their ears. They're constantly sitting in front of their Facebook, and they're constantly listening to videos on the computer. Noise, noise, noise. How about the noise of transportation? I sit in my office and study and do the radio broadcasts and those things that are part of our ministry here. And there is a wall, a thick wall here in my office. And then outside of that wall is courtyard, and then out there is a road. Man, I can hear trucks go by and cars go by and fire engines go by. And you can hear that noise of transportation. Listen, I'll lie in my bed at night, and I can hear the road noise a long way away on major thoroughfares in this city. All night long. It never ceases. How about the noise of recreation? People just yucking it up, carrying on. The kids in the neighborhood yelling, screaming, hollering, having a good time. And all the noise of people just enjoying their time. How about the noise of aviation? Airplane flying over from time to time. The noise of locomotion, where you may be close to a railroad track and you can hear the cars coming by and the whir of the steel on steel from the wheels to the rails and the horn blowing. How about just the noise of commotion, people stirring around, moving around inside of the house, walking up and down the street. We were in the Philippines, and boy, you can really hear the noise of commotion, just things going on. How about the noise of production, the noise of industry, refineries running, factories running, production lines running? How about the noise of construction, where you hear the roofers re-roofing houses and framers framing up houses and yard men cutting grass and fence crews building fences and handymen making repairs? All kinds of construction going on. How about the noise of commercialization? You go into a mall, you go into a store, and you hear voices coming over the PA calling out special pricing and asking or seeking people in the store. You hear the cash registers running. You hear the click-clack of the scanners as the noises are beeped, sometimes the keys running in the drawers opening in the change being deposited in the drawers and the money being counted out and all the greetings that go with it. Just the noise of commercialization. And then the noise of distraction. Just whatever else is going on around. Bugs and any other kind of thing making noise. Listen, you add the noise of conversation, diversion, transportation, recreation, aviation, locomotion, commotion, production, construction, commercialization, and distraction, and you got a lot of noise going on. You can hear the fan running on your computer if your bedroom is close to wherever your computer is located, just trying to keep that thing cool. You know, you can hear the noise of water running through the pipes, particularly when a faucet is turned on and turned off. You hear all that. And you know what all that noise is? That noise is there, and it represses the cries of wisdom. Because the cries of wisdom are kind of like a still, small voice, a gentle voice. You say, but he says he's crying out. He is. But I'll tell you what you need to do. If you want to hear the voice of the Spirit of God, if you want to hear the voice of wisdom, you've got to cut off some noise. You've got to turn off the television. You've got to turn off the radio. You've got to get the earbuds out of your ears. You've got to shut the computer down, man. You've got to stop the conversation. You've got to get rid of the distractions. And you've got to allow yourself to be in a place where things are quiet. Where they're quiet. When Elijah heard the earthquake and he heard the big wind and he heard the crackling fire, God wasn't in any of all that. He came in a still, small voice. You need to settle down, but people don't want to do that. Wisdom crieth without, but the funny thing about it is, when wisdom cries without, her cries are refused. Her cries are refuted. Her cries are repressed. Listen, you and I need to do better than that. You need to listen. The voice of wisdom is there. It's available. God is trying to tell you something, but you're going to have to shut out the distractions. Get your Bible open. Read what God has to say. Listen carefully to the right kind of preaching. Listen carefully to the right kind of wisdom and the right kind of instruction. Cut out all that other stuff that causes you to refute it and refuse it and repress it. Now listen, if you do not know or cannot hear the voice of wisdom, it is not that wisdom has ceased to cry out. She's still crying out just as much today as she ever has. The reason that you can't hear the voice of wisdom or you don't know the voice of wisdom is that you must try harder to hear her voice above the din of all this confusion. Because if you fail to hearken to the voice of wisdom, it's not going to be her fault. No, she is plain spoken. She is available. If you fail to hearken to the voice of wisdom, it's not going to be her fault. It's going to be your fault. Because you allowed all these other distractions and refused when she spoke and refuted with science falsely so-called what she had to say and repressed her voice with all these other distractions of life. Let me tell you something. Wisdom will have the last voice. Wisdom was here before there was any noise. Wisdom's going to be here after all the noise is done. You know what I say to you? Tune in to the voice of wisdom and tune out on all these other voices that cause you to turn away your ear from her. Amen.
You have been listening to The Unknown Bible, the radio ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. For information about our church, go to our church website at www.my3bc.com. That's my3bc.com. If you would like to contact us by telephone, our number is 361-241-6100. Bible Believers Baptist Church is a Bible-believing church located at 1701 Ranmorgan Road. If you are not currently a member of a Bible-believing church and you are looking for a church with an uncompromising stand on the words of God, come visit with us this Sunday or Wednesday. We would love to see you.
Hallelujah.